Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Blanche v. Lau, docket number 25-429, decided June 23, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Muk Choi Lau, a Chinese citizen, was admitted to the United States as a lawful permanent resident in 2007. In 2012, New Jersey charged him with trademark counterfeiting, and while awaiting trial, he briefly left the country for China. When he tried to re-enter, a border officer declined to treat him as already admitted and instead paroled him into the United States pending the resolution of his criminal case. After Lau pleaded guilty, the government charged him as an applicant for admission who was inadmissible because of his crime, and although the Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed the resulting removal order, the Second Circuit vacated it, holding that the officer needed clear and convincing evidence at the border that Lau had committed the crime. The question presented was whether to remove a lawful permanent resident who committed an offense listed in Section 1182A and was subsequently paroled into the United States, the government must prove that it possessed clear and convincing evidence of the offense at the time of the lawful permanent resident's last reentry into the United States. The court held, the Immigration and Nationality Act does not require a border officer to have clear and convincing evidence that a lawful permanent resident has committed a crime involving moral turpitude before treating that resident as an applicant for admission. Justice Thomas delivered the opinion of the court, in which Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett joined. Justice Jackson filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justices Sotomayor and Kagan joined. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope they do not impact your listening experience. To leave us feedback on the show or to learn more about the podcast, please visit so-ordered.org. The following is the opinion of the court in Blanche v. Lau.
Respondent Muk Choi Lau, a Chinese citizen, became a lawful permanent resident in 2007. New Jersey charged him with a crime in 2012. He then temporarily left the United States. Ordinarily, a lawful permanent resident who arrives in the United States after a temporary absence does not have to apply for admission because he is regarded as already admitted. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1101A. If he has committed certain crimes, however, the government may regard him as not yet admitted. Because of Lau's pending charge for a crime, a border officer declined to regard Lau as admitted upon his return and did not admit him at the border. Instead, the officer paroled him, pending the resolution of his criminal case, meaning that he was allowed to physically enter the country without being formally admitted. After Lau pleaded guilty to the New Jersey charge, the government initiated removal proceedings and secured a removal order based on his conviction. The Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed. The United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit vacated the removal order. It concluded that Lau should have been regarded as already admitted upon arrival unless the border officer had clear and convincing evidence that Lau had committed the crime, which it held that the officer lacked. Because the Immigration and Nationality Act, INA, does not impose that requirement, we vacate the Second Circuit's judgment. The government can remove aliens on different grounds depending on whether they have been formally admitted to the country. It can remove aliens applying for admission if they are inadmissible and it can remove already admitted aliens if they are deportable. The INA specifies the respective grounds of inadmissibility and deportability with which the government can charge an alien. As relevant here, the government can charge an alien applicant for admission as inadmissible if he has been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude at any time. By contrast, the government can charge an already admitted alien as deportable if he has been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude only if that crime was committed within 5 years after the date of admission. Because lawful permanent residents generally must be regarded as already admitted to the country, they usually do not have to reapply for admission when they return from temporary overseas travel. But under an exception central to this case, the government may regard a lawful permanent resident as seeking an admission, and thus as not already admitted, if he has committed an offense identified in Section 1182A, including a crime involving moral turpitude. When the government institutes removal proceedings against an alien, the INA imposes various burdens of proof on the alien and the government. But it does not specify whether the government has the burden to establish that the alien is an applicant for admission in the first place, as opposed to someone already admitted. Lau is a Chinese citizen. He was admitted to the United States as a lawful permanent resident in 2007, making him a non-citizen who was authorized to live permanently in the United States. On May 7, 2012, New Jersey charged Lau with trademark counterfeiting. While awaiting trial, Lau temporarily left the United States for China. On June 15, 2012, Lau attempted to re-enter the United States by presenting himself to a border officer at John F. Kennedy International Airport. Because of his pending criminal charge, the officer did not regard Lau as already admitted, but instead as an applicant seeking admission. The border officer did not immediately decide whether Lau was ultimately admissible. The INA allows the government to parole certain aliens seeking admission instead of formally admitting them, detaining them, or removing them. Parole allows an alien to physically enter the United States without being admitted. Parole thus allows the government to pause the inspection at the border and defer it to a later time without having to detain the alien pending a final admissibility decision, as would otherwise be required. The government exercised that authority to parole Lau pending the resolution of his criminal case, instead of formally deeming him admitted. After Lau pleaded guilty to his trademark counterfeiting charge on June 24, 2013, the government initiated removal proceedings against him on March 13, 2014. At those proceedings, the government charged Lau as an applicant for admission who was inadmissible for having been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude. Lau sought to terminate the proceedings on the ground that the government improperly classified him as an applicant seeking admission when he returned from his trip abroad, instead of deeming him already admitted as a lawful permanent resident and subject to removal only on deportability grounds. Lau also argued that his conviction was not of a crime involving moral turpitude, but that issue is not before the court because the Second Circuit did not reach it. Thus, for purposes of this opinion, we assume without deciding that Lau's conviction was of a crime involving moral turpitude. The immigration judge found Lau removable as charged, and the Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed the removal order. It held that the government had proved by clear and convincing evidence that Lau fell within the exception for lawful permanent residents who had committed a crime involving moral turpitude and that he was inadmissible and removable based on his conviction. Lau sought review in the Second Circuit, which vacated the removal order. The court acknowledged that a lawful permanent resident may be regarded as seeking admission after he has committed a crime involving moral turpitude, even if he has not yet been convicted. But, according to the Second Circuit, it is not enough that the lawful permanent resident committed a crime involving moral turpitude. The government needed clear and convincing evidence at the border that he committed the crime. Without that evidence, the court said, border officers must regard lawful permanent residence as already admitted, which precludes removal on inadmissibility grounds. Because, in its view, the criminal charge alone did not give the border officer clear and convincing evidence that Lau committed the crime, the court concluded that Lau was not properly paroled, that he should instead have been deemed admitted, and that he therefore could not be charged with inadmissibility. The court remanded to the agency with instructions to terminate removal proceedings based on inadmissibility without prejudice to the government's ability to charge Lau with deportability. Because the Second Circuit's decision conflicted with those of the Fifth and Ninth Circuits, we granted cert in 2026. The government correctly regarded Lau as an applicant for admission, so it properly charged him with inadmissibility. Nothing in the INA required the border officer to have clear and convincing evidence that Lau had committed a crime involving moral turpitude before deeming him an applicant for admission. A lawful permanent resident who has committed an offense identified in Section 1182A may be regarded as seeking an admission. Section 1182A, in turn, identifies any crime involving moral turpitude. Putting the provisions together, if a lawful permanent resident has committed a crime involving moral turpitude, he may be regarded as seeking admission. And, because he is seeking admission, he may be charged with any applicable ground of inadmissibility under Section 1182A, including being convicted of or admitting to a crime involving moral turpitude. Removing a lawful permanent resident on a charge of inadmissibility thus involves two steps. While only commission of the crime is required at step one to show that the alien could be regarded as seeking to be admitted, conviction or admission is required at step two to show that the alien seeking to be admitted is inadmissible. Under these rules, Lau was correctly charged with inadmissibility. At step one, the government properly regarded him as an alien seeking admission because he had committed a crime involving moral turpitude before attempting to re-enter the country. So, at step two, he was inadmissible and therefore removable if he satisfied any statutory ground for inadmissibility, including that he had been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude. The Second Circuit resisted that straightforward analysis. In its view, at step one, the government had the burden to prove by clear and convincing evidence that Lau actually committed the crime in question at the time of reentry. We disagree. Nothing in the INA imposes the burden that the Second Circuit recognized. The statute imposes similar burdens in other situations, but not in this one. It imposes the burden on the applicant for admission to prove that he is admissible. It imposes the burden on an alien seeking to prove that he was previously admitted. It imposes the burden on the government to prove that an already admitted alien is deportable. But it nowhere says that the government has the burden to establish by clear and convincing evidence that the alien is an applicant for admission. The Second Circuit derived its clear and convincing evidence requirement not from the statutory text, but from inapposite Board of Immigration Appeals precedent. The board says that the government must establish that a lawful permanent resident is an applicant for admission by clear and convincing evidence. But the board imposes this burden on the government, correctly or not, only at the time of the removal hearing, not at the border. And here, the government satisfied its burden at the hearing based on the evidence produced at the hearing. Lau's guilty plea was clear and convincing evidence that, before he attempted to re-enter the country, he had committed the crime in question. We decline to read into the INA an additional clear and convincing evidence burden on border officers entrusted with making quick judgments on the spot when that burden is nowhere in the statute or even board precedent. We also disagree with Lau's remaining arguments. Lau argues that border officers had to determine that he was seeking an admission based on some standard, and that the same clear and convincing evidence standard that the board applies at the removal proceeding should apply for both purposes. But, as the government points out, border officers did determine that he was seeking an admission when they paroled him. And, as we have already explained, there's nothing in the INA that suggests that those officers had to have clear and convincing evidence to do so at that time. Lau argues that the government expressly conceded that it had that burden. But the government conceded that it had the burden only in removal proceedings, not at the border. Lau also suggests that the Second Circuit did not go far enough. A lawful permanent resident may be regarded as seeking admission, he argues, only after being convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude. He cites this court's footnoted dictum that the phrase committed an offense identified in Section 1182A appears to advert to a lawful permanent resident who has been convicted of an offense under Section 1182A or admits to one. A straightforward reading of the text contradicts Lau's interpretation. Section 1101A says that a lawful permanent resident may be regarded as seeking an admission if he has committed a crime identified in Section 1182A. Section 1182A, in turn, identifies certain types of crimes. One is a crime involving moral turpitude. So, under Section 1101A, the government may regard a lawful permanent resident as seeking admission as soon as he committed a crime involving moral turpitude, even if, as in Lau's case, the conviction occurred later. To be sure, an alien's ultimate inadmissibility under Section 1182A turns on whether the alien is convicted of an identified crime. But Section 1101A, by its express terms, incorporates by reference only the crimes. Section 1182A identifies, not its requirement of conviction. Read together in that way, the provisions make good sense. An alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence in the United States shall not be regarded as seeking an admission unless the alien has committed a crime involving moral turpitude. Read together in the way that Lau suggests. The provisions make little sense. An alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence in the United States shall not be regarded as seeking an admission unless the alien has committed a conviction of a crime involving moral turpitude. One does not commit a conviction. We conclude that the government properly charged Lau with inadmissibility. Border officers did not have the burden to establish by clear and convincing evidence that Lau had committed a crime involving moral turpitude. Because Lau still argues that his crime was not one involving moral turpitude and we do not decide that issue, we vacate the judgment of the Second Circuit and remand the case for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.